Morning Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. We are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee, and I'm not going to lie to you. My heart, it didn't break a little bit. I expected the Predators were going to be picking fourth or fifth. I said, look, I will pee my pants with joy if the Predators land the first or second pick. I will be okay with number three. I'll be sad if it's number four, but I'll be okay with it. And if they end up picking fifth, it'll be an unmitigated disaster. And they landed on number five. Again, I can't say I'm surprised. But I actually think Barry Trotz has the ability to do something he's wanted to do for a couple of years. And this would, in theory, make the best of a bad situation. Again, as I have said, if you want to win the cup in the NHL, you have to pick first or second. Unless you're the 2019 St. Louis Blues, the exception to all rules, you have to have a top-of-the-draft guy. How did the Florida Panthers get Alexander Barkov? They took him second overall. How did the Colorado Avalanche get Nathan MacKinnon? They took him first overall. Steven Stamkos in Tampa Bay, first overall. Sidney Crosby, Alexander Ovechkin, first overall. Connor McDavid, first overall. So you have to get that guy. And in this draft, there's two guys. There's Matthew Schaefer, the defenseman out of Canada, who I believe the Predators would have loved to have taken at number two, and Michael Mesa, the center out of Canada, who I believe if the Predators had landed the first overall pick, that's who they would have taken. New York got the number one pick. The Islanders have the number one pick against all odds. We saw the ping pong balls. They're going to take Schaefer, which now takes us to how Barry Trotz makes the best of a bad situation. For 2 years, two drafts as general manager, pick on pick on pick, Barry Trotz has tried to move into the top four. And for 2 years, Barry Trotz has absolutely been rebuffed. At Bridgestone Arena on the night of the draft in 2023, Barry Trotz offered San Jose a reported four number one draft choices to move up to number four to draft Will Smith, who may end up being a second liner. Well, this year, maybe he's got a shot. And maybe he's got a shot for one specific spot for one specific player. And that is number two overall with San Jose for Michael Mesa. Scott Wheeler at The Athletic says, watch out for trades this year, and this gives me some hope. Quote, every year when I do Q&As and mailbags around this time, Wheeler writes, I get asked just as much about potential trades as I do the actual players. And if you've followed my work, you'll know that almost always my answers are a letdown. It's hard to make trades on draft day, especially in the first round. Top picks almost never get moved. Trade-ups and trade-downs are almost always, he writes, in small increments. But this year does feel like it's more ripe for action, Wheeler writes, for a couple of reasons. For starters, the belief among teams I've talked to is that it's going to be easier to make trades happen in a decentralized format where there aren't prying eyes and listening ears. The guys like doing their business over the phone. So the NHL this year is going to a decentralized draft. Again, think of the NFL. So they're all going to be at Bridgestone Arena, even though the draft is going to be in Los Angeles. It used to be where everybody was seated on the draft floor, like some sort of awkward wedding every year, kind of like an NHL convention. That's over. So they'll all be at Bridgestone Arena, so that's one of them. But, Wheeler continues, there's also a higher concentration of picks amongst a group of teams, and that always makes managers more inclined to take risks and be spicy with their picks and, yes, package them. Seven teams have multiple first-round picks this year. San Jose, Chicago, Nashville, Philly, Columbus, Montreal, and Calgary. The Sharks, Blackhawks, Predators, and Flyers also have the first four picks of the second round on top of that. The Flyers have seven picks in the first three rounds. The Blackhawks, Preds, and Sharks, and Canadians have two second-rounders as well. Now, he says watch out for the Blackhawks, Flyers, and Habs in particular. Because Chicago GM Kyle Davidson has too much quantity in his pool and has already shown a willingness to package picks to move up. The Flyers, blah, 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 whatever. Let me just say this. I would not be shocked if Barry Trotz tries to go all in to get to number two to take Michael Mesa. You know, Barry Trotz talked about when he took the job that he's told the scouts, I want to take big swings. That means take big risks. And everybody likes to say, oh, it's easy to take big risks. But when you take the risk of signing a bunch of veteran players to massive contracts and it doesn't work out, people aren't very happy about it. That's what happens when you take big risks. John Robinson took a big risk in Caleb Farley. People weren't very happy about that. So Barry has said, I want to take big swings. To me, the big swing is if Matthew Schaefer goes number one, that Trotz then does what it takes to get to number two, to get the better center prospect in Michael Mesa. There will be a center available at number five. Last year, wherever the Predators were picking, there were no center prospects available. I kept looking at it saying, wow, like they're down to center eight, who profiles as maybe a second or third line guy. But all the good ones, and I'm not even talking about Celebrini, but I'm talking about everybody. They're all gone. That's not the case if you are able to move up to number two to take Michael Mesa. But this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where the swing becomes big. Because here's what it probably takes in order to get San Jose to make the move down. Number one, I think San Jose is obviously going to want the fifth overall pick. And you're obviously going to be willing to give it. Number two, they're going to want Tanner Mullendike. He's your top defensive prospect. He's one of the better defensive prospects, certainly not one of the best defensive prospects in the game, but he's probably one of the better defensive prospects in the game. And they need blue line help. Like, the reason they're so upset they didn't get the number one pick is they wanted Matthew Schaefer. They're not going to get him. So, what you do is you give them Mullendike, they move back to five, they can take the second best defenseman off the board, and now they've got two blue line prospects to go with Celebrini and Will Smith. Three, they're going to want another first round pick. My guess would be Tampa Bay's first this year is what you could probably trade them. They probably aren't going to take the Vegas first, which originally belonged to them. They're not going to take that. And they're going to really want your first next year. But I could see, again, let's meet in the middle. They take Tampa's first rounder. So that's Mullendike, the fifth overall pick, and Tampa's first. That's not all. There's more you're going to need in the showcase showdown. Now, I don't know what that's going to be because I don't know their organization well enough. I don't know their roster well enough. It would not surprise me if they would have interest in a veteran guy, like, say, Lazan, for instance, that they would have some interest in because, well, he's a veteran blue liner and he's got cost control and we're trying to win a little bit, develop young kids, that kind of thing. Or if they'd look at you and say, no, we want Tampa Bay's first and we want next year's first and we want it unprotected. Now the question is, and you won't know this when you go to make this trade because you don't know who will get to number five. But is that worth the difference between Mesa and James Hagans, who may be there at number five, the kid out of Boston College? Is that the difference between Mesa and Ryan McQueen, who's 6'5" and got hurt and could be the number one pick in this draft or number three pick in this draft or whatever before he got hurt, etc.? I don't know the answer to that. I just know Barry Trotz has tried for years, especially with San Jose, to move up in the draft. And at each instance he's been rebuffed, this might be the year that it actually works. And I'm just going to give you my opinion. I think Mesa's worth it. I think Mesa is worth it. Even though some people are going to like this, Caleb Denoy, Denoyers, Denoyer, whatever his last name is. They're going to like him. They're going to like Hagans. You know, you're going to get one of the three centers. Hagans, Denoyer, or McQueen will be there at number five. There's another O'Brien kid that people apparently are starting to like. He could be there at number five. But they're not Michael Mesa. And again, if you want to win the cup, you got to have Michael Mesa. So while it was bad last night, what happened to the Predators, it would not shock me if Barry Trotz did what it took to make a massive trade to move up the number two in a league that normally does not trade the second overall pick. It would not surprise me if he's able to pull it off, or at least tries his ass off this year to do it. 615-737-1025. I did hate the draft last night, but or the lottery last night, but I did see something from the Athletic that 3 months ago I said I would have settled for out of court. We'll get to that next. Don't want to company one or two after the game.
What does number five do for you? Where do you head from there?
Well, we're in the process of all the meetings right now upstairs. I sat in with our scouts today. I feel that even at the moving back a couple spots in number five, we're going to get a good player. I don't have any doubt about that. What it might do, depending on once we get the order, we're probably going to put a couple of plans into place. I'll have to make some phone calls and follow through with some of our plans. So, I think, when we get through with all the process, we have the combine coming up, as well as some interviews with the players, especially the what we think is probably the guys will be in probably the top 10 for sure. We'll do a lot of background checking, do all that. And once we get that in order, we'll try to figure out what everybody else is doing and have a few plans in place to go in the direction we need.
Okay, there you go. That was Barry Trotz. Now, for about the last 5 months, we've sat here talking about the Predator season, and this is why I'm glad I don't work for the team, because Willie can't go on the FanDuel Sports Network broadcast and say, well, Chris Mason, you know what? It'd be a good thing for them to lose today. You just can't say that. You know, I remember when Barry would come on the show and he'd say, hey, I want us to win. I'm not going to tank, but... And I said there were three players, Matthew Schaefer, Michael Mesa, and James Hagans, that I could live with if the Predators drafted. So this morning, after that awful, awful, awful draft lottery last night, this morning I pulled up the Athletic and I saw they had a mock draft out there. I said, okay, let's see what the mock draft, now that they've said it, let's see. Number one, Matthew Schaefer goes to the New York Islanders. Okay, that's not really a surprise. Number two, Michael Mesa goes to the San Jose Sharks. Again, not a surprise. Number three, Chicago takes Porter Marton, that big right winger that scores a bunch of goals but's not a center. Their Scott Powers at the Athletic says that the reason being that the Blackhawks don't have a lot of forwards like Marton, but they've got the small center types like Connor Bedard. Utah at four. They go with Caleb Denoyer, the center out of Moncton, which means the Predators on the clock at five take, according to this mock draft, Scott Wheeler, the Athletics prospect guru, James Hagans, the center out of Boston College. And I'm like, wait a minute. So does this mean if he gets to five, does this mean that James Hagans isn't as good as we thought he was when I was saying there's three guys and the center out of BC and the, or does this mean that luck might actually come the Predators' way after they got porked by luck last night in the lottery? Here's the one thing I'll say. The NHL Central Scouting Analysis ranks James Hagans the number two player in the draft behind Matthew Schaefer. Bob McKenzie at TSN, who's been doing this for 100 million years, has James Hagans at number two behind Matthew Schaefer and ahead of Michael Mesa. Again, I don't want to get too caught up in what a mock draft says, but it sounds like a lot of these teams, especially Chicago ahead of you, they've got center figured out, so they're going to go for the winger instead. If that's the case, maybe it's not worth the assets to try to trade down and build up the picks for whatever that's worth. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ryan has been waiting patiently and is going to kick us off this hour. Ryan, thank you for calling. You go ahead.
Hey, Jared. It sucks Perez got fifth, but I hope that Haggins falls. I would be calling San Jose, honestly, still, even if it's a fifth overall pick, and asking, what do they want for their second overall pick and for us to keep the fifth overall pick? If that includes giving them Stasny and Willsby and Molendijk and two firsts this year and a first next year, I'm doing it. Because then you can sit there and grab Misa at second and then hope and then sit there and hope at fifth going, well, if Haggins falls, well, I just got my top two centers for years and years and years to come. And I think the reason Haggins is falling is because he still has a couple more years of college that he can go back to, and the people may not want to take that risk of him going back to college.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you right now, there is zero chance that San Jose is going to let you keep five and trade for two. Like, I mean, I'm trying to think at the top of my head, what would you have to offer to – San Jose doesn't need more picks. They already have two first-round picks in this draft. I mean, think about it. For Yaroslav Askarov, they traded you David Edstrom and Vegas's first-round pick in order for – they traded you what they got for Thomas Hertl. They traded that for Yaroslav Askarov. They don't need more picks and prospects. They need blue line help. And they're going to want five. That's crazy talk. They are going to want five. You're not getting two and five. And no, they don't look at Spencer Stasny and say, oh yeah, give us that guy. He missed half the season and he's not even that good. Ryan, I love you, but give me a break. One texter says, yes, it's bad that the Predators are slotted fifth, but it got lost last night. The Preds have two more first round picks. Yes, they are late. But regardless, you should be able to get a good nucleus based on chance alone. So it should be noted that the year that they drafted Shea Weber, he was their fourth pick in that draft. They had 3 second-round picks, and the first guy was some dude from the Czech Republic I've never heard of in my life and never played an NHL game. Like Constance Galantine or something like that. I've never heard of this guy before, and they picked him before they picked Shea Weber. There is something to that, but I don't get my hopes up over. They've got enough late first-round prospects on their team. They've got enough between Wood and Molendijk and Kemmel and Stiga and Surin, and they've got an Andrew Gibson. Like, they've got enough of those guys. It's the high-impact, big-time player. The big boy forward that they don't have, and that's not what they need. One texter says, the lottery system for both the NBA and the NHL really seem like it's rigged. There's too often that big market teams get giant jump ups that statistically should not happen, and it never seems to happen for the little guy. I will say this. Oftentimes it feels like, up, number one, with a 0.01% chance of getting it, New York! And I'm like, okay. This happened 2 years ago with Chicago when they didn't have the best odds and they got Connor Bedard. Now, I am going to back the little guy for a second because New Orleans did win the ping pong ball for Zion Williamson. And that seemed to be a big deal. But I'm not going to get on the NHL and the lottery today because you saw the freaking ping pong balls. You saw them. You saw them put the ping pong balls in, and they did it with number one. It was like watching Sesame Street. One. Two. Three. And they put them all in there. And then they had the one guy that never turned his back away from the clock. It was like Kaiser Soze out there. And then finally they had the one guy, like they'd picked the ping pong balls. I'm watching TV. I'm like, all right, so who's the pick? Who's the pick? And they're like, hold on. Hold on. This guy's got to finish writing things out now. He's got to finish writing it all out. So let's take some time. Okay. Hand it to the other guy. With the second pick, it will be San Jose. You can't say it's rigged when you saw the ping pong balls. Unless, again, Siegfried and Roy are out there, you know, with tigers. Voila. I mean, there's no way for me to think that it was rigged. Even though New York won, and statistically New York should not have won. There's no way I can get on board with that. I hear you, but I can't get on board with that. 615-737-1025, Stillman and Company. We continue. 1025, 106 for the game.
Chase, who is the best predator of all time? Who would you say?
There's a statue of him.
Pecorino.
Pecorino. Where did he go? He must have been.
He was third?
No.
Yeah, he was in a round that doesn't exist anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I mean, look, you can get good
guys, play. Settle
Shea
down.
Shea Weber was the second round.
Settle down.
What round were you drafted?
I was in the eighth round.
It
we
doesn't
don't
exist
have that anymore.
We don't but you have were pretty damn you good.
When your best player for your organization doesn't have a round anymore, you know, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they're
what
good
was
players.
Yossi?
Of course, I would everyone wants the best player you can get. But you don't know what these kids are going to end up like. And so we are what we are. You know, it is what it is.
Hal Gill last night, when everybody saw the lottery come down, the Predators get the single worst result that they could have gotten. Hal Gill's like, it's okay. What round was Pekka in? Which it was funny because I laughed about that. I mean, just talk about, and I know, you know, I love Hal, and I think Hal sometimes hates coming on the show because he knows I'm going to ask him point blank about guys being fired or things that are touchy subjects. And Hal has developed, and I got to give him credit for this. He's done a very good job of being like, well, Jared, you're asking me what I think, which means let me say what I'm going to say like that about everybody being upset about the fifth pick. Guys, Pekka's not good enough. Like, this pick needed to be the kind of player that takes you past where Pecorine was able to get you. That godforsaken season that you had this past year, it was so you could draft that player that can take you to the promised land. There's just not enough good fifth overall picks at that level. For instance, Elias Pettersson was fifth overall in 2017. And you would say, wow, Elias Pettersson, that's a big boy forward. He's had over 100 points in a season. But in the playoffs, he's a no factor. This past year, and I don't know what it was between him and JT Miller, but they didn't even make the playoffs because of whatever petty bullcrap got between them. Noah Hanifin, he's a top pair defenseman, Jared. Yeah, but you need a big boy forward, and he's not a top pair defenseman on a championship club, at least not yet. Elias Lindholm, he was the fifth overall pick in 2013. Jared, you love Elias Lindholm. I do. As a second line center, you need a first line center. In that same draft in 2013, Nathan MacKinnon went number one overall. Alexander Barkov went number two. That's the kind of player you need. There just haven't been a lot of superstars that get picked fifth overall in the NHL. The best players, I mean, the real just freaking studs, get picked number one or number two. It's as simple as that. Apparently, the last Hall of Famer to be picked fifth overall in the NHL draft was Jeremy Roenick all the way back in 1988. Jeremy Roenick was picked fifth overall and ended up in the Hall of Fame. That's just not good enough. Like, it's not good. No, not good enough. And I know Hal will tell you, well, Pekka was an eighth round pick and we built a statue for him. Yeah. And the best Pekka could get you when he went on an absolute freaking heater, the best he could do was get you to the Stanley Cup final where you lost because the other team had Sidney Crosby. Again, it's not an accident. Nathan MacKinnon wins cups. Steven Stamkos in his prime wins cups. Guys that were taken first overall. Crosby, Ovechkin, McDavid's going to win one soon enough. It's not an accident. You know, I heard Barry talking yesterday when it came to the coach, and he was like, well, you know, the year we won the cup in Washington, we didn't get it until 30 games into the season. You had Alexander Ovechkin. Not exactly an apples-to-apples comparison. So, when I hear Hal trying to do the whole, it'll be okay, it's fine, it's whatever, I tell you, I'm not there. Also, the text line's convinced that they can still rig the balls with the weight to rig the draft lottery. I mean, people would go to jail if they ever got caught doing that. That is it for us. An early exit today because of Vandy baseball is up next. This is the one time a year where I got to root against them. They're playing Louisville, the Battle of the Barrel. Good luck to the Cards. Good luck to Coach McDonald. And if you're a Vanderbilt fan, I hate to say it, but I'm rooting against you tonight. That's going to do it for us. We're out of here. Great show today. David Reed, Stillman & Company. We'll see everybody tomorrow at 2:00.